Hey, Josh.
Hey, Nate. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty great. It's almost winter up here in Canada. It's like forecasted for snow next week. Kind of excited. Have to clean up my leaves yet before all the snow comes, but looking forward to Christmas season and snow and all that stuff.
Nice. Yeah, we actually have a little bit of snow today. So,
You do?
just flurries. I don't think it'll hold, right? So just like, just when I was out of the dog walk this morning, I saw it and I got a text from my daughter. She's like, snow, 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 snow. You know, she's in middle school, but I think they probably every kid is like looking out the window, face plastered to the window, you know. So
Hopefully it'll be canceled or there's a delay.
right, exactly.
Yeah. How are things with you?
They're pretty good. Yeah, there's just a lot of things I'm really excited about lately. I probably have too many threads going on in way too many directions, but yeah, I mean, in short, I will say, I don't remember if we talked about it on the podcast. I know we talked about it after the last episode, but we're talking about like mics and all of that type of thing. So I did finally settle back on that, and then I also got like this massive too big monitor, but I'm trying to get a feel for it. It's like a 43 inch monitor, and then I put my other two old smaller ones on the side, so it truly still is like
Yeah, big wraparound.
a big wraparound, and the other two are like flipped to portrait mode. So I don't know. It's a lot of new modalities for my workspace.
Well, extra screen real estate is always exciting. I really like that. Have an extra screen real estate.
Yeah, and now you're like you're quite the size in here in my while we're recording this as I'm looking at you. You're actually probably if I expanded this to the whole window, you probably could be life sized.
Yeah, you might not want to do that.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I don't think you know, you might bump your head on our ceiling, so I know you're pretty tall.
There you go. Well, I had a few things I wanted to ask you about today, if that's all right. Or did you have some
Yeah.
things you wanted to start with?
No, I think what you had was a good line of topics because it ranges a few things and kind of, I don't know, hones in on things I have opinions on. So, you know, those are
Oh, there
always
you
fun.
go. Well, something that Josh doesn't have an opinions on, well, that'll be the day. Okay, so first thing is conferences. So some of my friends have been talking about going to conferences and things like that. And I've been to some trade shows and whatnot for clients, and I think I've been to a few even business development kind of conferences. And I guess my trouble is I've got four kids at home, and it's a big deal if I'm gonna go to a conference, right? My wife's gotta take care of the kids for a couple of days, and I gotta travel and all that. And so I really want to know, is this conference a good one to attend, or, is this a waste of my time or whatnot? And I don't know, kind of maybe thinking of it from, there's probably a couple different angles to maybe think of it from, like what value you're getting out of a conference. But just maybe we could talk a bit about that, and kind of if you have any thoughts on kind of where the value is in conferences, how you kind of think about that.
Yes, I definitely have thoughts on that. So I'll start with, just sort of the talking points you started there, and I don't know if we're going to be able to whittle this down to like a decision-making framework or not, but possibly. So the way I think about it, my kids aren't as young as yours, but travel is still a challenge, right? Just because of school schedules and carpools and all the things. So if I was to be away or my wife was to be away, like there's a lot of logistics, right? So, and also knowing like from a marriage standpoint, like keeping that stuff in balance and fair and equitable and whatnot. So there's that. And then the other part is, so I'm also not a, like, I wouldn't want to go to like a conference every week or every 2 weeks. I know there are people, I actually met with someone for lunch a couple days ago that he's like, he travels probably to like 50 conferences a year or something like that. I don't know. Some, maybe 50 is a stretch. Even if he said 25, I still would. Both of us would have been like, wow, right? So the way I think about it first is I think, smart the way you're thinking about it is like, okay, let's first think about like the home life, because how's that going to balance? And for me and my wife, we both like kind of pick things out further in the calendar and we kind of decide. But in general, we've probably been on a cadence of about 2 or 3 things a year for each other. So whether that's me at a handball tournament, right? So I kind of bucket these as like time away from family where the other person has to hold down the fort.
Yep.
So for us, it's probably been about 3 a year. So once I get that into my psyche, I get 3 a year, right? And then I'm thinking about, well, what are the check boxes I need, right? So there could be, if it truly is like, oh, I need marketing, like for my business. That's one, right? Like that's one bucket. Another one could be just like meeting my own, you know, friends and people. Like it could just be a pure, like that's where the handball thing might be. It's like a social, that checked social and sport and motivation throughout the year for me for handball. So there could be that, but there or could also be a magical mix of some of these things. So
yeah, right.
So that's where it happened for me with the Spark Together conference about, you know, a month or two ago, a couple months ago, to which I knew marketers that were going. I brought Micah also came, who's my kind of business co-founder or partner with Referral Rock. So we were talking shop with that stuff. And then we had a bunch of BBiz, you know, friends that were going as well. So for me, it became this magical mix of all the things. And I wanted to also meet other people. Now, last on that list was like getting any business. But I think we actually might have gotten a couple customers out of it, but that was not the intent, right? So for me, it's like this ladder logic of where you can kind of get double wins, like for some of these, like that was like a triple win for me.
Yeah. And I think I have similar buckets to you as well. Like I don't really look at conferences so much for like friendship or just like hanging out with other people. Typically I fill that bucket with like day trips. If I'm going to do something like that.
You have like local friends and like, I'll go camping. I'll do this with your church group or whatever. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then kind of what I'm really looking for with the conferences is like, is this going to help me learn something that I couldn't learn like online or whatever? Okay. Networking, like am I going to meet people that are going to, you know, be there for me and I can be there for them kind of thing? Or is this like, you know, I'm going to meet some possible customers or I'm going to learn something about the industry that's going to make a big difference to me. I think that's kind of how I've looked at those things. But I do find it really tricky to kind of, to gauge, you know, what's the worth in these things, right? Because you have like, for example, I was looking at MicroConf the other day. And so MicroConf has like a lot of educational stuff. But I always look at those things. I'm like, well, I could watch a bunch of online videos for a couple of days and like not have to put my wife through being away and all of that. You know, where's the trade-off in some of these things? And I think my bias is always towards, well, I could do it myself. And so,
and then you don't do it.
I do actually do a lot of it, but I think there is something to, you know, dedicating time towards something and trying to learn or learning with a peer group or some of those kinds of things.
Yeah, I like the way you framed that, because one of the ones I probably nowadays would kind of like you were sort of edging towards, which was I take education off the table now, like from a conference standpoint, like because there's so much online stuff. And because there's so many other ways to learn, and like you could take a cohort-based course. There's like you can adapt, you know, if you can adapt the way you learn, and also be like, hey, I'm going to do a Nate's own run marketing conference, and I'm going to queue up like 50 videos today in a certain subject matter, and like on a Friday I'm just going to go through those, take notes with the intent of like making a marketing plan, you know, for testing taxi, right? So like you could kind of create your own conference and then also like, hey, let me take this worksheet that I finished and bring it on the podcast with Josh and let's see what he thinks. Like, so that could like check that box without ever like, you know, leave.
And that is actually what I do. Like I don't queue up 50 videos, but like I'll queue up, you know, 2 hours worth or something. If I'm feeling like I'm not understanding a certain area of subject, and just kind of, take notes. It's a good way to keep myself on task and, or I'll have it playing alongside when I have to do something really mundane, you know, like just like manual data entry or something ridiculous like that.
Right. Right. So yeah, and for us, like another recent one is I've kind of wanted to, like I said, kind of workshopping and having organic conversations with people I work with, like is helpful, right? Still to have those types of things. But fortunately for me, Micah doesn't live very far, so we do those like every other Friday.
Yeah.
But there's a guy that I like to do these with too, our product manager / product designer. And instead we're actually bringing him into town. So like neither Micah or I have to gonna use that chip of like going away. But Blake is using one, but he's coming into town. He has two small kids, but he's like, I could pull that off. So it's sort of, you know, you're kind of like reallocating these things, these little trades here and there.
But I wonder though if there is more to this kind of networking and peer group sort of side of things, or even, you know, like the customer research side of things too. And I know those maybe are two different threads, but I think I've often undervalued those in the past, where it's like to know a bunch of other people in a similar place in their business journey, or even just to have a closer connection to more people, gives you kind of a bigger surface area to understand the market from, or like what's going on. And even like I've had it before where I've done this for my clients, where I'm like, I'm at their trade show, and to workshop an idea is so fast, because you get all of these like people that are primed to just talk about, you know, the industry and what's going on, and they give you feedback so quickly that you wouldn't get otherwise.
Yes. So I think you've pulled on a couple other parts that are, now that we've narrowed down this space, which is cool. So like the last item you're talking about was sort of a customer discovery types of things, right? And then I think the other, which I think is a super powerful thing to have, right? But also the other alternative is like, you know, could those happen in customer discovery calls? But also, is it harder to access these people? And it really becomes like a challenge to try to piecemeal that type of stuff together, where you're right, being in the conference and sort of like being where the water is already flowing, and you could just basically stick your ear and pick up some things and be there and be an organic part of it, right? And then the other one's about sort of having people that are also growing a business, sort of like this goes more to your interpersonal, like, you know, needs. Like I've often, you know, think about the founder journey type of thing, right? Of like, okay, well, who are other people? Who are people that are, I can commiserate with, or I can, they might have other ideas. I kind of, this is sort of what this podcast is a bit about, right? So there's kind of checks a little bit of the box. But then the networking within the, like, I think subject matter area is harder, right? Like, I think some of the, they all have their own like nuance and hard parts, because the founder one is people are in different places at different times. And it's really hard to find the person that's like, you may not be in the same phases, and then it doesn't matter to someone else if they're moved on to a different phase, up, down, laterally, wherever, not like it's a, like it's a pyramid of any sorts. But those are a bit harder. So it's like, I don't know if you can triangulate on all those three, but what is the one that you feel like is your biggest area of need, and also like highest likelihood that this event can check those boxes?
Yeah. I think you got to kind of, it's a bit of a squishy thing to try and figure that out. And yeah, I've thought about that a bit, especially with testing taxi. Like, you know, what if I just like got a booth at a, you know, testing trade show and just, you know, talk to people, you know, would that really make a difference in terms of understanding people versus maybe, you know, having online surveys or paying people to talk to them online or other carrots, right? And I don't really know the answer to that. I'm just trying to figure it out, I guess.
I mean, I think for you, and again, I don't know what your exact priority needs are, but I think the other part I would quickly step back and say is, we talked about, you know, priority needs and what do we say? And like level of confidence that's going to meet that. And then the other piece of that is like, do I have a easy alternative, right?
Right.
I think the one, let's just target this one, like this testing taxi, like let's say going to a QA conference. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if that's what is in your bucket, or do you want to tell the specific one and we'll just workshop that?
Well, I don't have a specific one, but I've thought in general of like going to like a QA workshop or a QA conference where they have like a vendor floor and just getting like a booth there and trying to talk to people. And
right.
And mostly for customer discovery to kind of throw things like go in there with, you know, I don't know, 20 different value propositions and just talk to people about like what their problems are and if and see which of those kind of resonates and kind of test it out.
So one thing I'm not clear on is, I don't know if you're still clear on this or not, but are QA people your best audience? Right. So that's the other thing. Like, you'd have to be very confident that that is the thing, because you know those, that's where those people are going to convene. Right. And if that's the case, then I think, yes, that does make sense. I wouldn't necessarily get a booth.
Mm.
I think there's also different ways to approach the conference tactic. Like, I've seen other people do things like hosting a separate happy hour that's sort of just like, you know, you can get people to sign up and you can walk around, and you, when you meet people, it gives you something to talk. Oh, and by the way, I'm hosting this little, like, you know, it's like probably cheaper than a booth. And it's just like, hey, I just wanted to get, you know, a couple people around that we're just going to talk about. Like, you create a like off conference event type of thing. So there's different techniques to do that, to like meet people, right? And if you think about like, what is my approach to meet these people and try to get information, and again, like not trying, making sure you're disarming them, not trying to sell you, I'm just trying to
understand
right? So
yeah,
if that customer discovery truly is the thing and those are the people you want to do discovery against, then that otherwise would be a struggle to find and hunt and peck and try to reach out to, then, you know, that sounds like a pretty good one.
Yeah. So basically, the last week or two, I've been trying to figure out ways to get around doing that. Because like you said, like, is RQA the people, the right people to talk to, for example, for testing taxi? And I've come up with a few other ways of kind of trying to get at it. And one is to basically, I've been making a landing page every day, a new landing page.
Right.
And putting a different tweak of the value proposition on it.
Okay.
And what that looks like is kind of like just the above the fold part is different. And then the lower part with all the, like, you know, here's what it is and all that is the same. And then at the bottom is kind of a sign up for beta or like a get on a call kind of thing. And
okay. So you're basically using this to like match some language. Hopefully you're kind of doing two tests at once. You're just like, how can I attract the right person with the right sort of language and copy, and then also hopefully get a person to talk to about this.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of a, like, you know, win-win if they sign up, and if nobody does anything, well, that's why we have lots of alternatives to kind of test out. And so I've tried, you know, driving ads to that, and, you know, seeing the response rates and different headlines is kind of helpful to kind of see that, and doing lots of like mining of, you know, customer reviews and things on other people's software that's kind of in adjacent markets, to kind of see what people are talking about, what they complain about, and that sort of thing, to kind of build those ads. And so I guess that kind of got me thinking. I was like, could I have just avoided all of this MVP business and literally just like made a bunch of ads for things that I thought would resonate and made a bunch of landing pages that just had a wait list on it? Like,
right.
Is that
before you mean before you built the product?
Exactly. Like, is that a thing, or is that like,
yes, it's totally a thing. It's totally a thing. I mean, right.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, like, people have done this a lot in the past, and I think it is brewing even more lately, right? Like, because the key is like, okay, this is people call that, you know, customer discovery or customer interviews and all of that type of thing, right? Like, we had Michelle Hansen on, you know, for with her book to help with customer discovery with Deploy Empathy, and I don't know. The only thing I would say is like why we never pushed you in that direction too is recall, you know, maybe it was like a year or so ago, and we talked about like, well, what do you enjoy? And it was kind of like, I just like to build things. And at that point, yeah, you were like less caring about
whether people would want it.
Yes, right. And it was like you got enough joy out of just building and solving gnarly problems, right? And so you sort of made that your North Star. And even though I was like, well, we probably should do these other market things first. And you're like, well, and it wasn't like an argument conversation. It was like, okay, I know that's what you want to do anyway. So like, there's also two paths to it. It's like, I could build this thing. And if I do match the market, it becomes, you know, a potential gold mine, or the other way, which is find the thing, then build what the market wants, which probably is a higher likelihood of success and can do it quicker and faster to resonate with customers. But now you're kind of talking about the former.
Yeah, right. Well, it's kind of, you know, sometimes a little slow, you know, take the long way to figure it out.
Well, no. And that's fine. And it's no, like, I think you've still enjoyed this whole path. So that's the thing, right?
Yeah. And I guess like, I think maybe like looking back, I also, maybe didn't dig deep enough into what people were saying about the industry and some of those things when looking for signal, because I'm seeing as I'm doing these ads and, you know, making these landing pages, the things that matter in those are, you know, getting real, hearing what real people with money have to say and, you know, from a reputable source where I can, you know for sure that that's what they think and not just, you know, some ad copy or something like that. And that's kind of what I've been focusing on the last little bit. And I find that it feels like a circle a little bit right now, what I'm doing. It's like, I like try to figure out the marketing side of things a little bit, get a little bit of traction there. Okay. Go back to building. Cause like, well, the product still needs work, and then like get feedback from people and then like literally do the cycle over and over again. And it feels like, it feels very chaotic. And I don't know if maybe it's just supposed to be that way or like, you know, if there's like a more direct kind of approach to these things, or I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, I wouldn't say it feels chaotic to me, but that's also because I'm like, I think about these things in these, like, I would say life cycles and loops, right? Of like, and, but what I think I also do is within that sort of cycle, right? Is I also like move pieces off the board. Right, that are like, okay, this works, or it helps me refine a specific area. So it's like you start out with a large surface area of a problem and a thesis, right? And so you're sort of going through those cycles of trying to match both sides of the equation. And then when you do, it's sort of like, okay, now what does that tell you? It means I need to kind of dig deeper down this other area, or do I need to backtrack, right? Like, and once I make those, I sort of have this bucket of like either decisions or okay, now this is a solid static variable, or it's no longer a variable, now it's a static constant, right? And now that becomes part of like this overarching, a solid block within the fuzziness, and now it's like, okay, and hopefully it really is solid, and you're not like going down a path for the wrong decisions because you already solidified something, if that makes sense. So I think of it as the cycles. Every time I'm coming through, what am I learning? What blocks do I get to now say, like, you know, this is now a solid part of the foundation, and now it helps you narrow like the next problem or narrow the next area and discover and figure out if that's real or not, right?
Yeah, and I wonder if maybe it feels a bit chaotic because I don't have like a maybe an overarching thesis of like, this is this part, this is that part. Because, you know, I was doing a lot of like, at the beginning, I did a bunch of customer interviews, and then I was doing a lot of community stuff to try and get involved in the community and understand where they're at. And then like, now I'm kind of moving more to this, like, it seems a little bit more maybe calculated, doing like this ads and landing pages kind of thing. And it feels like the more I'm finally understanding, maybe that the more people input I get, the better I can understand kind of where to go next with things. Like the more diverse opinions I can kind of narrow down, okay, like these are the people I care about. I don't care about those people. Okay, how do I find more of that original group? Okay, you know, repeat.
Yes. So I think you're thinking of something else, but I lost the thought thread.
It'll come back in 5 minutes. That's what always happens to me. Yeah. So that's what I've been thinking about lately. Been just kind of trying to hone that, and been spending a bit of money on ads, but I look at that as like, if I spend the money on ads, it's a lot cheaper than going to a conference that may or may not work out. And I also put up a survey. So I put ads to a survey where I offer like a gift card to people who fill it out. And so I'm hoping with that to get some, you know, more like long form kind of response other than just click on it or not click on it.
Right, right. Ooh, now I remember. Got it. Perfect timing. So one of the paths you took before with Testing Taxi was the browser extension, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and that I thought was genius as well, because what the thesis for that as you were doing that was like, it hit on a bunch of other, you know, bets or business needs you needed to figure out, which was one, could I attract an audience for free, right? Could mm-hmm. could I grow a distribution channel? Could they turn into paid users? This kind of segued into some of the theses you were having, and also was part of when you were doing more interactivity in the community, right? In the testing community. What that did do is it really was solving like this other problem that all, you know, businesses have, which is distribution, right? So like, mm-hmm. if you were to crack that nut in that way, and I'm not saying there's a there anymore. I think you've probably figured out there isn't, but if you were to, that was still a good thesis within this whole, like, is Nate doing the wrong thing? It's not about you doing the wrong thing. It's just about you just following your path. And now it's like, okay, now this feels like the right thing. So, yeah. But I don't think there was anything wrong with any of the stuff you know.
Yeah. Speak. I appreciate you saying that, but I do also want to, I feel like I am getting better at being very precise in my thesis and try be more precise in my thesis and find the easiest way to prove or disprove that thesis. Because I think my default is, well, I'm going to build something or I'm going to, yeah. And that takes time, right? Whereas like there's often much easier ways to solve that, that maybe aren't quite as high quality, but at least is good enough to kind of get you started.
Okay. And also maybe what I didn't hear you exactly say, but maybe this is a, maybe this is what you're saying, is maybe you're ready for more of the tough love of being like, Nate, don't do that, go do this types of advice versus like, hey, all right, I think I need to make something out of this. So like, let's, yeah. You know, there was times you were more in an exploratory, had less of a sense of urgency, but even by what you put in the Slack and things like that, I feel like you have this more growing sense of urgency around this too, of like, I've invested and now I want to do something.
I want to return now.
Yeah. I want to return now. Yeah. I've been exploring in the woods, but like, let's see what I can build with all these things. Like, okay, cool. Now, but one of the other things you mentioned too, that made me think about something I've been thinking about lately too, with, you know, right now you are, I don't know, there's this term in my head that's like called, like language market fit. That has kind of been bouncing around, mostly because some of reading and videos I've been watching and things like that. But a couple things come into play with that on this tangent of you trying to figure out, you know, what are the words the people are using that you solve a problem for, right? And there was a good podcast episode, I think it's on Marketing Against the Grain. I'll send you the link to it too, and we can put them in the show notes. But it was talking about a guy that was using ads to do this, but he also talked about getting suggestions from AI of what to put in the ads based off of what people were feeling, and then like, and kind of using, like, they were still using ads in a similar way like you were, with A/B testing, sort of like, let's see which ones get the most clicks, and then sort of like finding where to double down on that, right? So I mean, in either way, your funnel ends with you potentially having a conversation, which is good, and then you're getting actually even more visceral understanding of figuring out if you can draw a line between the customer and, you know, what you can provide with your tools. So I'll send that. Yeah, and that was interesting because I was just going to say, because like, I also know that anyone that does customer interviews, they're now raging against any of these suggestions that AI can replace a human on the interview side.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. I think there's a lot of things you can do. Even if AI is the one that just like has all the scripts of what how people think, or maybe it's all the interviews you have and then like pulls that out to like, again, help you recycle this language stuff into the next ad, you know,
type of things. So actually I've used ChatGPT a lot for general market understanding, where I say like, what are the common concerns of this group of people? Mm-hmm. And just to get a general feel for things, or like to make lists of like, you know, what type of tools are in this space, or what, you know, how would you segment this market, or some of those things. I've used it for a lot of research that way to kind of get a lay of the land, and then can kind of go dig into like individual reviews on different things and like explore different areas where I think there's something there. I've found it really good for that. I find it really very poor for writing ads. It's like, it's always too verbose, and it always like kind of botches the emotion. I've noticed with the ads that I've written, like the strong emotion is what gets the clicks. Mm-hmm. And so like strong emotion that is like related to, you know, patterns I'm seeing in reviews, that seems to really do well. And so just kind of doubling down on that.
You might be using it for the messaging, but not necessarily the copywriting, right? Like,
no, yeah, the copywriting you got to do yourself.
Okay.
At least that's my experience.
Right. Okay. There's this other tool that I actually haven't checked it out yet. I bought on one of those, like, I think it was like,
okay, Black, like a bundle,
an AppSumo Black Friday thing. But also I now know I'm a pro user of, or I paid for the annual pro user thing for AppSumo, which is really cool. Cause I realize they have this thing when you do that is you basically can get a refund after 60 days if you don't like the thing too. So
You're
not only are you buying like a lifetime thing, but then you can like
cancel,
say backsies, and like, hey, this tool wasn't all it was cracked up to be and wasn't as useful to me. So there is one that I bought like yesterday, but I haven't even tried it yet. It's called like supercopy.ai, and it has those specifically more persona based things in there. So you might want to take a look at that one again from like ideas for that. But if you're getting a lot out of ChatGPT or whatever else in terms of like fake customer feelings or whatnot.
Yeah. So I find like,
or simulated, how would you say?
Yeah. But I find like the simulated answers are actually not that, like they're helpful to be like, okay, this is what to look for. But then to actually go through the individual reviews yourself and like see what the patterns are, I think is very useful for myself, because I don't know, maybe there's something in my brain that doesn't fully believe what ChatGPT has to say. And so it's like, you know, as I'm like going through, it's like, oh no, this is the like the visceral reaction they're having, or like, here's, you know, I can put this customer into this bucket, you know, they just complain about everything, so I'm not really going to care too much about what's in this one.
So, so those are some tools that I think there's also in down this language market fit thing. I found some other really good resources that I'll send you to, because some of them have like interviewing templates and some other things. And I really like this approach that this person has taken on it. So I'll link that stuff to you as well. So it's kind of all in the same similar headspace as well.
Yeah. Good. Lots more reading and listening.
Yeah. I think the only thing we didn't answer, which hopefully I'll wrap it up quickly. I know we're getting a little long in the tooth on our normal time, but you asked about is the waitlist proof of demand.
Mm.
And I think even for you right now is like, even just getting the interviews is good, right? Like getting the real people, because then you can ask them more in-depth questions. And you're finding two things. One, you're finding ways to potentially find new customers, and you're discovering like sort of a you know, an ad copy technique and stuff that's going to do that. And then also being able to like find that information to vary, to line it up. So I would say it is proof of demand, mostly because like, you know, if you can scale, you're not thinking about these as like scalable channels, but then after a while, you could do the napkin math and figure out, can it be like, once you figure out your sales metrics, right? Like, what is the chance I could sell this to a person and at what value, lifetime value and whatever, then you might have a, you know, potentially scalable channel. So I think the waitlist, the way you've talked about it is the other waitlists, like in general, I think I'd say a big question mark, because right now you are getting, I think, ideally more qualified potential people to it, at least from a demand side perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Cool.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thanks for this. This was a good chat.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye, Nate.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you want to chat with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Nate Bosher and Josh is at JLogic. If you're a new listener, check out some of our most popular episodes. Episode 52, 7 years to 22 MRR and zombie startups. Or episode 30, review sites are a necessary evil and hacks to get around them. Thanks again.